Good evening. If you could open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As many of you know, the teen youth conference was yesterday, and that was a great time. Probably at least 40 kids who, instead of spending a Saturday at home or spending a Saturday out with doing whatever, they decided to come to Countryside Bible Chapel and worship the Lord. And that was very encouraging to me. And I gave my testimony there, and then people would come up to me and say, "Matt, thanks for your testimony." I'm like, "Whoa, thank you for my testimony." And one girl even asked me of advice. And, you know, it's very humbling when you're around all those people and they just want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I remembered I was speaking tonight, and my message is actually on being an example for the world. And I'm like, oh man, I have to go back to that world that nobody cares about God. I mean, I go to public school. I go to this one little Christian fellowship group on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. But besides that, you don't really hear about God in school, especially in public school. And so I'm on fire for the Lord after this Saturday with all these believers. And then I realize, okay, well, now we have a job to do. So my message tonight is on 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if we could start with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And spread the word of Jesus Christ. But this next verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because when we talk about the Lord in this world, it's not very easy, you know, for every person that says, "Oh, that's interesting, Matt, can you tell me more?" It's going to be 40 people coming up to you saying, "Oh yeah, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this, and I don't believe all that." And so saying endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and I love that word, soldier, because it makes me think we're fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we go down, verse 4, this is, now we go to setting yourself apart from the world. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And then down in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When you're not acting like, you know, everybody else, like a lot of my friends are, you know, into premarital sex or drugs, or they're, you know, every other word out of their mouth is a curse. That's hard to deal with. But when somebody sees that, that person's not like them, then they, you know, they start to wonder why. And something I get out of this is when I follow Christ, I feel a lot more joy. There's more joy in my life when I'm following Christ and not, you know, what everybody else is doing. And when somebody sees that joy, they can really say that person's different. Romans 12, verse 2, you don't have to turn there, it's a very popular verse, says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And of course, I forgot it. I'm very nervous, so I'll forget the verse. I'll continue it. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not to be like you know, the kids who were off, you know, partying and drinking and whatever. And I'm going to have to deal with that because I'm going to college soon. But, you know, this is one of those things that's easy to preach on and hard to practice. It says, be not conformed, but be transformed. And it's very difficult. And one of the things that helps me is that when I'm following the Lord and everybody else is going this way, I feel a pride in me. I'm like, I'm living for the Lord, and that makes me happy. That gives me joy. And that's how I can refrain from doing all these other things. And if that works for you, it's something good to think about. When you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you proud? Aren't you proud to be in the Lord Jesus Christ? Go back to 2 Timothy here. Sorry, I'm kind of rushing through this. And one more thing. A girl came up to me after I gave my testimony, and she asked me for advice. And I thought, you know, maybe giving advice would be easy, but you know, it was hard for me to find the words to say. And verse 15 of 2 Timothy says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So sometimes I feel like, you know, if I'm in the Word more, maybe I could have given her better advice. But that's something to pray about, and it's something you really need to be in the Word of God, so you can be not only an example to other believers like this girl was, but to the world. When they ask you all those questions, when they come at you, you can say, "Oh, well, you know, this verse says, you know, and this is what I believe." And so this I just want to repeat that first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight for the Lord. And you know, that's how I feel joy, fighting for the Lord. If we could, Brother Mr. Brayton spoke this morning, and he read some verses from Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, "Set your affections on things above, not things down here, and your life is hidden Christ." So, and that's one thing he wanted you to remember from his sermon this morning. I think something good to remember from mine too. Okay, I think I left you a little more than 15.
Oh, thanks. All right, when I was preparing my message last week, Matt and I were talking, and Matt said that he was going to prepare a sermon on being examples for the world, and I said, that must be the working of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to prepare a sermon on examples for the church. So the way our sermons came together, I felt was really a working of the Lord, and I praise God for that. Now, if we can turn to 3 John, I want to start reading there. I believe there are four things in 3 John and Philippians that show us that what we should be to be examples for the church. The first is hospitable to the brethren. The second is to walk like Paul. The third is to naturally care for the brothers, and the fourth is to be a servant. In 3 John it says, verses 5 through 8, "Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost do to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of the charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward in the journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, being cause for that his name's sake you went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth." Being hospitable to the brethren is important because sometimes full-time workers and missionaries and even people who are staying at home to spread the gospel don't have very much, and if they can rely on their brethren in the church, people in the world that are not saved can say they're really relying on God to supply their needs. They don't need to necessarily overwork themselves so they don't have time to spread the gospel for the believers, and so that they can eventually become saved. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 and then 13 through 14, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so, as ye have for an example." And Paul's walk was, he said that he hadn't attained perfection, but he counted himself to have apprehended one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is showing that Paul was able to forget the bad things that happened to him, like him being stoned and thrown in jail, and him being criticized by his own people, being rejected by his own people, like Christ Jesus was. But pressing towards the prize of Christ, that he might be called, for lack of a better term, the best of Christ's servants. In chapter 2, verse 20, it says, well, I'll start at verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort where I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek your own, but the things which are Christ Jesus. But ye know that the proof of him as a son with the Father, that he hath served me in the gospel." When I was thinking about this, trying to speak on it, that those two verse 22, really just confused me, because it comes right after verse 21, "All seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know that the proof of him as a son with the Father hath served with me in the gospel." And after thinking and praying on this, I found this to mean that Timothy was serving with Paul like a son would go with a father into his workplace and work with him, like Jesus worked with his father as a carpenter. And this allowed Timothy to gain a better view of the world and be able to see all the hardships that Paul endured and be able to sincerely care for anyone, because he had seen a lot of really horrible things that had happened. And that's why Paul is sending Timothy to Philippi, so they can be cared for by the best of the carers that he knows. Number 4 is being a servant, and in chapter 2, 7 through 9, it gives us the example of Jesus, and it says, "But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." showing that Jesus, the Son of God and God himself, actually came to become the creation so that he could save the creation because he loved his Father. He loved his Father to the point that he would die for his Father's love, which I think is really, it just blows my mind. But Jesus allowing himself to be the servant and washing the disciples' feet and healing the sick and taking rebukes and the crucifixion without reproach and without calling down the armies of heaven to destroy the world, shows us that being the servant can reach more people than being the conqueror. Like all the conquerors of the world, they've conquered lands, but they're not really remembered as much as Jesus is. Jesus has hundreds of thousands of, and even hundreds of millions of followers today, and Alexander the Great has none. Caesar has none. George III has none. All the emperors of Egypt have none. And it shows that being a servant actually was the best way to bring people to Christ. Also in verse 25 it says, "Yet it is necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, that he was, because he ministered to my wants." Epaphroditus, like Timothy, was being sent to Philippi because the Philippians needed someone to comfort them in a time of need. Epaphroditus was a person who, he was sick nigh to death, but he didn't concentrate on himself. He thought of the Philippians who were sad, with exceeding sadness because he was sick nigh unto death. And it said that he was full of heaviness because they had heard he had been sick. Epaphroditus, like Timothy, cared for the Philippians even when it was to his disadvantage to care, if we think of it that way. This natural caring, ministering to the wants, even when you're sick nigh unto death, being a servant, and in 3 John, being hospitable to the brethren, are four of the very important traits that I think would bring the brethren together in the church and allow the church to function more smoothly and be able to reach more people. It would also allow us to become more like the church Jesus would want us to be. And then in 3 John it also says, that you will prosper for what you have done. Like iron sharpens iron, I think we are also, as fellow believers, meant to challenge each other so that we can become sharper in the way, in the walk of the Lord, and be able to get each other better and better so we may press towards the mark that Paul talked about in Philippians for the prize of Christ Jesus. That's all I have to say. So